This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation. Hello, welcome to episode number 34 of Chicken Salad. My name is Ben Locke, and let me bring in one of my usual co-hosts. He may be the prince of inappropriateness, but he won't be censored tonight on this show. It's Logan Crosland. Good evening, Logan. How are you doing?
It's uncensored, Ben. I can't be censored tonight because I cannot rip this pay-per-view in half.
Now that might be just a little guide as to what's coming, just to warn those of a sensitive disposition, they may want to turn off now. Now Callum's not here with us sadly this month, as he has decided for some strange reason that he wants to go and play golf in the morning and try and become the next Rory McIlroy. So you know, you can, but you know, for this kind of show, who can blame you, Logan? You know what I mean? If you're going to miss one, you might as well.
He probably made the right choice.
He probably did, to be fair. So he's not going to be here tonight, but we have got a special guest with us who is going to be the third man in the booth. He was going to be on this show anyway tonight. And once we told him what the show was, he was even more excited to be here, if that's possible. He is the host of the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast on the North South Connection, and my personal favourite pod here around here that I'm not on, PTV NXT. It is Mr. Jacob Williams. Jake, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing well. If this pay-per-view was playing golf, it would clean, because it would have the low. It's so under par that it would... I do very well. This is a Tiger Woods in a certain way. If we're talking about like golf scores of pay-per-views, but I can't help but feel this is a demotion, because the last couple times I've been on, it's been WrestleManias, and then now I'm doing this. So I don't know what punishment this was. Not that the WrestleManias I did were great, but Jesus.
Now, some might see this as some sort of demotion or a punishment, Jake, but I really don't, because if you are going to join us for one show, then make it this, because tonight it is my choice, and I have picked for us to watch, or to review, I should say, Uncensored of 1996. Now, Logan, the last time we did an Uncensored show, it came from Tupelo, and I totally undersold that you were even near there. I totally forgot it was your nickname for some strange reason. So just remind us again how far away from Tupelo you actually are.
It is roughly about an hour and a half from where I am. So the Coliseum's a place I've seen a few house shows and a couple concerts. So. I've been to this arena quite a few times.
Now, I'm pretty sure I asked you this question the last time we did, we did Uncensored 95, and I've totally forgot, and I really should go on Wikipedia and have a look. Is the Coliseum still with us?
Yes, it is. Yes, absolutely. It's changed names, but it is still around.
And what's played there? I'm guessing some local, like, basketball teams. I'm thinking out loud.
I think they had a hockey team at one point, but I think everything that sports wise that was played there has been defunct for a while. The Tupelo T-Rex that Lewis was a big fan of.
Yes,
they were there for a few years.
Tupelo T-Rex.
But I think they had like a minor league football team at some point too, but yeah, everything sports wise has been, that doesn't happen there anymore. It's mostly just a concert kind of place. And like if a wrestling show comes to this area, that's where they go.
I'm with you. Now, and that also was a soft tease for Highway to the Impact Zone. So yeah,
there you go.
Very good. Now Jake, I'm not great on my US geography. So have you been to Tupelo? Have you sampled its delights?
I think I've driven through Tupelo possibly, but never really stopped to sightsee. I would be more about like a 5 hour okay. or so drive away from Tupelo, but yeah, never really checked it out. Unfortunately, it's mainly known as being the, as they mentioned on this show, the birthplace of Elvis.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I was gonna do that horribly sort of almost racist thing of saying, "Well, Jake, you're from the South; it's all very near." I stopped myself.
Right. Nothing's ever pulled me to Tupelo, unfortunately.
I hate to say it, but there's not much to it. It's got a mall, and it, like Jake said, the place of Elvis, they have a little museum, but that's about it.
Okay. Like I say, we are doing Uncensored 996. I will ask Jake this question. When was the first time you actually watched this show? Because I think everybody knows the reputation of the show, but when was the first time you sat down and watched it?
I would imagine it was probably just whatever was the most recent time I've gone through and like chrono watch this era of WCW or just chrono watch WCW. I feel like it's pretty early on though, because I feel like one of the first things I've done in within the first few years of the network coming out is watched this era of WCW, which is the one I kind of grew up with from about 95, 96 on. So I've watched it then, but there is a thing where you're like chrono watching things. I don't think you really watch under a microscope. You just kind of have it on the background sometimes. So
yes.
I don't know if I really realized completely, you know, until really deep diving it like we're doing for this. I don't know if it really quite sunk in.
You knew it was bad. You just didn't know it was this bad.
right. Correct.
Same question to you, Hogan.
Yeah, I think it was a network thing. Like when I first got the network, I hadn't seen very much WCW, so I watched through the pay-per-views and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, when the network came out, it was more than likely when I watched it for the first time.
Okay, and that would be the same answer for me too, because obviously I think I've said it before, we didn't really get WCW properly over here, sort of, you know, dodgy German channels and like, you know, random, you know, programming at random times of the night. Great fun. So let us go now to Tupelo, Mississippi for Uncensored 1996. We begin with a very moody intro video package to start, where all the heels in the main event talk about the alliance to end Hulkamania, which then turns into a nearly 3-hour acid trip. Tony welcomes us to tonight's show in the arena, and he's with Dusty Rhodes and Bobby the Brain Heenan. The first great line of the night is said as Tony asks Bobby why he's wearing leather, and Bobby simply replies with, "You never know." Dusty is like your dad trying to look cool at your 21st birthday party, God bless him. Our opening contest of tonight is for the United States Championship, and it pits the champion Conan against Eddie Guerrero. I will go to Logan first. Logan, I don't know about you, but I always find white meat babyface Eddie Guerrero very off-putting.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like himself in this era for sure. He comes out with the jacket on and it just doesn't. It's not the Eddie that I know. But superhero Conan may be even worse. they mention Conan being quick to start the match, and I audibly laughed when they said that because most of the Conan that I know is from Highway to the Impact Zone, and he is probably the slowest human being to ever live. But man, he even sucks when he's not broken down. He doesn't even know how to lock in any of the submissions that he tries to put in, and the little creative pins that he tries to do are just, he botches pretty much everything in like one little stretch, and it's just, he's so bad. I don't think he was ever good as much as people like kind of tout him for being good in Mexico. I have to see it to believe it. So he tries to lock in a submission at one point, and Dusty says that he is uncling him. I thought that was a pretty funny line. they keep talking about how this action is quick, and I said, if this is supposed to be quick action, then this is the slowest quick action I've ever seen. Eddie tries to fire it up at a couple of points, but Conan is far too gassed to hang with him, so he actually always has to slow it back down with a headlock or something like that. And the finish absolutely sucks when they act like he low blowed him on a headbutt when he just kind of didn't finish off the leapfrog. So I gave Eddie Guerrero 1.5 stars because Conan deserves none, but that's what I went on the match.
Well, as you know, what is my first rule in life, Logan?
Fuck Conan.
There you go. Good good boy. Now Jay, like we kind of mentioned, it takes a real special talent to make Eddie Guerrero look shit, but by God, our boy Conan managed it.
Yeah, this was not good. Conan looked like the Tick. That's what I had, if you've ever watched or seen the cartoon. Yeah, it's just, this is like the immediate first, and this is a running thing throughout the show, which I'm sure we're going to get to, is like, just like they're on the precipice of the NWO, and it's such a weird time, like, because like Conan would obviously be known for a much different look, so him dressed in this odd superhero getup is so odd. I'm okay with Face Eddie, but it, like, he definitely transcends it later on. I think he's just good here as opposed to great, which we get later in his career. But yeah, just, I felt like it was like they did, like a lot of matches will do like the feeling out portion with the mat work and stuff for like, you know, 2, 3, maybe 5 if you're really going for an epic. And I felt like that portion lasted like 15 minutes of this match, was just them like doing holds and shit. And like I was completely disengaged. And like I gave it the benefit of the doubt, like maybe it's just like my ADHD is like making me zone out on this. But yeah, and even then they picked it up for just a few minutes. And like Logan said, the finish was super lame. Like you can't do that much feeling out and then end on that. Like if you're going to feel out that much, you have to build to some kind of climax, not just like Conan's head grazing at his nutsack, and that's a, you know, that's our finish. That's not a good way to start a controversial possible low blow here. So I went slightly more generous on a 2, but again, I was giving it the benefit of the doubt because I thought, you know, maybe this is not to my taste, but certainly not good by any stretch.
I just imagine Gordon Sully commentating that, like, oh, a failed teabag ends the match.
Seems that Mr. Conan's nutsack has grazed Mr. Guerrero's forehead.
That's going to get the right up, Gordon. And I put in my notes, my last note reads, a 20-minute match where nothing happens for 18 of them. Mm-hmm. Which I think, and Logan will appreciate this, going back to a previous episode where we had the the Dean Malenko rule, where I couldn't go less than 1 star for a Dean match. I can't go less than 2 stars for an Eddie match. So this gets the gentleman's 2, I'm afraid. Probably doesn't deserve it, but
I was going to go 2, but the finish took me out. So that's my reasoning.
I like your reasoning. After the match, gentlemen, we go backstage where Mean Gene lets us know that you can chat to the superstars, including the Giant, online on CompuServe. Why do I feel like that whole segment, you know, that bit of Family Guy where they talk, where they go, the internet, hey? It just, it was like that. Mean Gene, like, you can talk to the Giant online. Bless him. Bless
him. He was very excited about it.
He was. He then brings in Colonel Rob Parker and Dirty Dick Slater, who he thanks for his training for tonight's match, and he promises to beat Medusa on behalf of all the men in Mississippi. Boo hiss. Boo hiss indeed. Our next match in the ring, Pitts, Lord Steven Regal versus the Belfast Bruiser, who you may know as today as Fit Finley. Now, Jake, as slow and plodding as that last match was, this match literally is the total opposite to that, because it's like, it's just punches and kicks and wrestling holds, but they're not rest holds. They're just that psychology worked brilliantly just between two guys, two vets who know exactly what they're doing.
It's so good. Like Finley comes in and he like wastes no time. He just immediately starts beating the shit out of Regal. And I thought Regal is good too. Like in this early portion, he like seems a bit off guard, like caught off guard, and he's like on his heels the whole time, just trying to catch a breath. It's like Finley's just pummeling the shit out of him. this is a great Dusty, like, I'm sure we'll get into some more Dusty, but I feel like this is where Dusty started getting it. Like, he was warming up in the first match, but like he says here, we got lots of nose locks, which popped me. And then he had some whole thing where maybe y'all caught it better than me, but I was trying to follow it. He's like, I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about. He says, like, you know, you catch somebody fibbing, but they're really talking Espanol. I had no clue what he was talking about.
I think that goes back to, like, the first match, because if you remember, he kept calling Eddie Guerrero his homie. That's tied to that.
I don't know if he's fibbing or just speaking Espanol. And then my favorite of it was, like, they did some kind of hold in. I think he was saying karate, but the way he said it, I could have swore he said he's got it hooked on the karate artery. Like, I swear. I'm like 90% sure he called it the karate artery, but a lot of good Finley offense, like, so good, like slamming Regal's throat on the I'll get Logan for this one. He was slamming his throat on the hardest part of the mat. Ring. I like this a bit better because they waited till the middle to kind of grind the holds, like they at least started off hot. But I'm with you, Ben, in that it was a lot of punches and kicks, but it felt like when they did the strikes, like every strike felt like it meant something. Maybe because Finley was actually punching Regal in the face for real, so maybe that's why it felt like it meant something. But either way, like the strikes felt meaningful. Like, there's like no wasted motion in this match, which I really dug.
Absolutely.
So I went 3.5 on this one. I think the finish, I thought maybe I think we could have peaked a little bit higher, but 3.5, just especially Finley just beating the fuck out of Regal this whole match.
I don't know if Logan's got it. It probably is. It's my favorite part of the Dusty commentary. I'll read the note where I've put in. Regal hits a low blow in the corner, which leads to an insane conversation where Dusty can't say the words gluteus maximus, and I have to pause the match as I'm laughing that hard. I believe he called it a luteus maximus at some point, and it is that I can't do just because I can't do it just the impression. But like, if Callum was here, we'd get it. But you know, hey ho, he can add it in post production. Now, Logan, like Jake said, this is a match where it is pretty much just punches and kicks, and like say some wrestling holds. But everything means something, and I'm gonna be my AEW mark here. Like, you know, it reminds me watching this, and then watching a few nights ago the Mox Hangman match, you know, that was a gross match, but the spots all meant something, and it all built up, and so did this, because these guys were just punching the shit out of each other, and I loved it.
Oh yeah, and Bruiser gets it started early. He walks by Jeeves on the way to the ring and just smacks the piss out of him as he's walking by and on the entrance way. I love that part. But I said 30 seconds in, this match is already 10 times better than the opener. So many stiff shots. Love the contrast in styles. Regal kind of wants to wear you down and grind you down, so he wants to use a lot of holds to like work a body part. But Bruiser just comes in and wants to maim and hurt you and just beat the ever-living piss out of you. There was one point where Tony started making fun of Bobby for... Oh, he got him. So that was kind of a shot at Vince somewhat, like how Vince would always go, oh, yeah, he got him. And then Tony kind of calls him out on it. And so Heenan starts flipping it the other way and said, oh, he didn't get him. And then he like keeps score of it throughout the night. So I thought that was a really pretty good part for the commentary. I feel like as the match goes on, Regal kind of abandons his grinding offense and starts kind of going for what Bruiser does, and they just start both hitting the piss out of each other the whole time. I love that all three of us came up with something different than Dusty said throughout this match, because I wrote down he talks about soliloquating and a repetendum at one point. And I think he's going for soliloquy, and I don't know what repetendum is supposed to be, but he talks about soliloquating and repetendum. So, I love that we all came up with something different for Dusty. I thought the finish was kind of lame, but I really loved the match. Really thought it was hard hitting and stiff. And I went 3.5 as well.
I went 3.75. And there's also another bit which I forgot to mention, which is where you guys probably won't get it, as much as I did, but where Dusty tries to make out that, like, you know, Ireland and Brit, you know, it's like 35 miles down the road. They're on the border. They're an old island in a Republic of Ireland, Dusty. Don't worry, though.
It's a 7-mile bus ride. That's what Bobby said back. I thought that was hilarious. That was it.
and also, you know, WCW doesn't get, like, well known or renowned for camera work, but I think we just need to mention that close up shot they had of the shot that actually broke Regal's nose where they had to go home early. Mm-hmm. The fact you actually it was straight there. And it was just about, like, you know, we all watch a lot of wrestling now. It's just the fact that you know they had to go home early because his nose and cheekbone was shattered from that one shot.
Amazing.
It was brilliant. I went 3.75, and I would have gone even higher if it had a proper finish.
Yeah, I would have gone higher, too, if it had had a finish as well.
Okay, after the match, gents, Mean Gene is backstage again with the Giants and Jimmy Hart. Jimmy promises to show the world why he is the best manager in the world. Gene reveals that the winner of tonight's Giant Lot Ness matchup will face Ric Flair for the title tomorrow night on Nitro. The Giant promises to destroy both men and win the title. Gene then plugs the hotline and talks about a major superstar leaving wrestling and going to Hollywood. I believe that was when Brett was leaving the WWF to go film Lonesome Dove, but I could be wrong on that. Gene then gets Loch Ness and refers to Jimmy Hart as a weasel-faced Hart and promises he will destroy both the Giant and Jimmy. Gene then says he will introduce Loch Ness to his neighbor, who is a dentist, which earned Gene a death stare, and the camera very quickly cuts away. So God only knows what happened to poor Gene after this. Logan, I know you were particularly wary of Loch Ness's dental skills or lack thereof.
Yeah, all of his teeth looked like they were about to rot out of his head. So Gene was probably right in saying that at that point. Maybe wouldn't have said it because he probably could have sat on him and killed him. But good comment by Gene for sure.
Our next match is our man versus woman match tonight, which is Robert Parker versus Medusa. I've got my first note. Parker comes out solo, showing an air of confidence, although he's still wearing his suit. I'm going to file this, Jake, under entertaining crap because it was short. It didn't outstay its welcome, at least. You know, some of these matches tonight, we talk about time issues, but this was in out, did exactly what it needed to do.
I agree, yeah. Like, you had a few good Medusa spots, like Medusa, and then Parker gets a stooge all over. The lockup at the beginning was another good Dusty part, because he locks up. What the hell? You going to lock up with him? What are you doing, boy?
I need my medicine. I can't understand this. This is unbelievable.
Right. But yeah, you're right, Ben, though, because they just did it. And then, like, the storyline here, if I remember correctly, is kind of odd, too. Like, so is it like Medusa, like, made it seem as if her and Colonel Rob Parker were like banging or something to make Sherry upset, and it's like, but she's the face, she spoiled the wedding. I don't know,
they mentioned on commentary, don't they, that Medusa broke up the wedding, so I think that's what it was, like, you know, she was the other woman,
right? But you get a few good Medusa spots where the crowd can pop, and then, like I said, Rob Parker gets a stooge. It's a novelty match. You get a couple of entertaining spots and they get out of there. Relatively speaking, inoffensive compared to most of what we're going to see. So it's a hard one to rate, but because, like, I would probably rate it lower as a match than, like, what we saw from Eddie and Conan. But, like, part of me is like, should I rate it lower? Because to me, it was, like, more acceptable. At least it wasn't fucking 20 minutes long. So, you know what? I'm going to go. I don't know how to work this. I would have to give it 2.25, which seems insane to be higher than the Eddie match, but I don't know. I'm just going to go 1. This show is like breaks your brain as far as rating things.
I went 1, but I'm like trying to just, you know, because there's a whole lot of shit we're going to talk about. So we've got to give some, you know, we're going to give some a nice, you know, a bit of positive light. So
this is a gentleman's one. A gentleman's one.
I'm happy with the gentleman's one. Now, Logan, you know, like I say, Colonel Robert Parker, he's a man who's, you know, as we discussed quite heavily on Special Relations, a man very famous for shit in his pants. And I get the feeling during this match, he might well have done the same with some of those shots Medusa was pointing at certain points.
Absolutely. Colonel Parker may be only behind Larry Zbyszko for the selling noises that he makes. Because he's, you know, anytime Medusa does something. So the commentary was pretty entertaining in this match. But honestly, let's just move on. I went dud just because it wasn't really that much of a match. But I'll give it a quarter star just so I don't give it worse scores than some of the other stuff that's coming up.
That's what you got to do with this show. You've got to kind of weight it against some of the other stuff that's coming.
Yeah, it was less inoffensive than the stuff that we have to come. So we'll put it that way.
And I will say about the shouty sellers in wrestling, we've got another great one coming up later on in the main event. There's some tremendous shouting goes on there. We'll get to that when we get to it. After the match, we head again backstage where Lee Marshall is with the Road Warriors. However, I'm more interested in the board that was behind them during this interview. Has the entire match layout for the main event on it? Animal says it doesn't matter who they face as it's a Chicago street fight and they will just beat people up. Hawk says there is no way they lose as it's their specialty match. We then get a special look at Slamboree, which promises the return of the Lethal Lottery. And whilst watching this show, Logan, I don't know about you, but I suddenly picked up on what Callum wants us to watch in a couple of months.
Oh boy.
I'll throw both out there because I don't know if you guys are as big a geek about this kind of thing as me, but when I saw that layout on the board for the main event, I actually mocked out quite hard. I was like, how could they be so stupid? Even by their standards, how could they be so stupid?
WCW, everybody.
Our next match then pits Diamond Dallas Page against the Booty Man. And if DDP loses, he has to quit wrestling. If he wins, he gets the lottery money and the diamond doll back. DDP comes out looking very disheveled. And I actually think that's a great look because that's the whole point of this, is he's meant to be this sort of guy, you know, almost a hobo just living on his... You know, living out on the streets practically. Logan, before we talk about the match, I mean, we talk about, Jake mentioned it, about this great time, this period being a time of great change for WCW. You know, DDP in 96 versus DDP in 97, is that might be one of the biggest changes of them all.
Yeah, he really takes a huge leap in this year. I don't think he's bad at this point. I just don't think he's quite gotten the... Or they haven't quite put him in the right spots, given him the right character quite yet. So I think the face turn is real big for him. And even towards the end of his heel run, he kind of figures it out. So, but yeah, the face turn was big for him and turning on the big group that becomes the NWO in the next year. So, yeah, he grows a big bit between now and then.
Absolutely. And also, before we start talking about the match, can we just mention, I mean, we're all three, you know, three heterosexual men. If we see a good looking man, you know, we'll point it out, but you know, we're not that insecure in our feelings. Gentlemen, the Booty Man is a sex symbol in 96. I mean, is there any more finer example of a man than that? Your silence says it all.
It gives me Nah, never mind. I'm not going to say that.
I'm not coming out with that line. Logan, let's actually talk about the match itself, because all I can say is, you know, we talk about time management on this show, but Staller Mania was really running wild during this.
Yeah, let's just say it gives me the showgirls issue. If you know, you know. I only have two notes on this this match, and one of them has to do with Kimberly Page. So I said, damn, Kim looks great. Literally nothing happens this entire match, beyond boring, and these are two guys that should not be going 16 minutes at this point in their career. I gave it 1 star just because the wrestling probably wasn't that bad, but nothing was of note. There was no exciting moves. Like you said, it was just stalling and just bad Brutus Beefcake offense in 1996. So, yeah, it's just very uninspiring, just very, very, very boring and very long for no apparent reason. But Kim looked great.
I've also got to know about Kimberly. Apparently, Kimberly, one of the hottest women in wrestling, thinks the booty man is just too cute. There's just no words for that, really. Now, Jay, you can talk about the match. You can talk about the booty man. You can talk about DDP. The floor is yours, my friend. This match is that boring. I'm not even going to set you up with a question. You can talk about what you wish.
It was all wrist locks, chin locks. I hope to God this is not one of DDP's that he laid out like move by move, because it makes me really worry about him as a human being if this is what he laid out. But like, no forward momentum as the match moves on. You don't feel like they're building to anything, like anything's really happening. It's so long. I agree, Kim is Kim's hot, but Booty Man is such a fucking loser. I hate him. Hate looking at his stupid face. Hate looking at his stupid gear. His stupid dumb hair. Yeah, everything about him sucks. I would have died. Kimberly Page being on ringside was not enough to bring this up for me. Just complete waste of time. Like, it just killed. Like, it's so long. And something we'll get into. It's just so meandering. Like, but the fact that none of us could think of one good spot of like this, like whatever, like seemingly 40 minute match is what it felt like, is super damning. Like, they couldn't give us one thing. Like, none of us were like, oh, that one when he hit this was cool. No, there was nothing. Not a single one of us had a single note about anything good that happened in this. So
it might please you to know I have another dusty, a ridiculous dusty line in this match though. Where the booty man puts an arm ringer on and then an arm bar. So Dusty then uses that to try to claim that the booty man is an expert mat wrestler. That nearly shot it straight up to number one in the ridiculous lines of the night.
Right.
Bless
it. Master of 1,000 holds, fucking booty man.
Especially the high knee.
The high knee. See, how clever are they? the thing with that move name is, you just know whoever thought of that backstage is like, I have thought the greatest name ever for this.
We were all thinking about, we all felt like the guy on that 93 Raw when he makes his comeback and that one random guy is in the audience and he's like, go kill yourself.
Yeah, you suck, go kill yourself. Bless him. Bless him. All right, gents. I think at that point, with the excitement level at a maximum, we better take a break. We better take a stop, because we have got 3 huge matches coming up. Emphasis on the huge in one of those matches, as well as a Chicago Street fight, and of course the Triple Cage of Terror, or the Doomsday Cage, whatever they call it. That is all to come. So for Jacob Williams and Logan Groslin, I'm Ben Locke here on Chicken Salad, and we will see you on the other side.
Just to be a dog.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to part two of episode 34 of Chicken Salad. My name is Dane Lark. I'm here with Jake Williams and Logan Groslin, and we are talking all things Uncensored 1996. So let's get back to it. Mean Gene is backstage with Jimmy Hart and Lex Luger, who, of course, Gene refers to as the total package. That's just for you, Cable. Gene mentions that Jimmy is the man who took Lex out of the tag match and put him into the cage. Jimmy gets all emotional as he reveals tonight is the last night he goes to the ring with Lex, then throws him his jacket and leaves. Gene says it may be the best use that Lex Luger will ever have. Lex says he has seen the cage and he is ready, but he will be watching Sting's back's honest governor. We then head to the ring where we have the Battle of the Behemoths, as it's the Giant versus Loch Ness. Now, I could talk a little bit about Loch Ness because he was a guy who was known over here as Giant Haystacks, and he in the 80s, I want to say all throughout the 80s, probably was the top heel in World of Sport Wrestling, as it was known over here. And also, I don't know if you boys noticed, he also has the music that Rey Mysterio would use later on in WCW, which I found a little weird and off-putting. And of course, as we're recording this, big congratulations to Rey Mysterio, the first inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame this year. Logan, I think the best thing we can say about this match, it is literally 2 minutes long.
Yeah, that's about the only good thing you could say about it. My only note for this match is to call it lumbering would be too much of a compliment. Dud.
I like the word lumbering. That's going in the write up too.
But the elbow drop that Loch Ness hits from the middle rope is impressive to a point. So, but yeah, still dud, still lumbering is probably the biggest compliment I could give it.
Jay, like, you know, we keep talking about, you know, the time they, you know, how the times changed. Even at this point, did we know, like, how big, if you pardon the point, how big a star the Big Show / Giant was going to be? Let's just talk about that instead of the actual match for a bit.
Well, like, the thing that always gets me watching this era is just how athletic he is. Like, I actually won a quarter of a star on this match, and the quarter goes for the bump he takes to the outside, which was wild. Like, for a guy of that size, like, he just spills out onto the floor for a fucking stupid Loch Ness. Like, kudos to him for even taking that bump. But, like, yeah, that's always the thing that strikes me. It's like, in this era, like, how limber he is and how well he moves is incredible. Can't say the same about Loch Ness. He is a slug. It's like a big, but he doesn't even have like a personality to it. He's just like a big fat guy just walking around the ring, hitting strikes. Like, the thing that struck me too about this, it is insane that this is presented as a number one contenders match. Like, oh, yeah. As if Loch Ness is number one contender. Just so stupid. Just like imagining that, like on Nitro, like, oh, here comes Loch Ness. He won the number one contenders match. Just so dumb. So yeah, quarter star for me for the Giant because he risked breaking his neck to take a bump for Loch Ness, and that's taking one for the team.
I think at this point, God, I don't think Loch Ness lasts anywhere after this match, but he had taken on the mighty powers of Scotty Riggs and Alex Wright at this stage. So, you know, that if that ain't number one contender status, right. I don't know what is, frankly.
Climb the ranks. He,
yeah.
You know, climb the top 10, clearly.
I went dud on it, but yeah, I could be tempted like Jake to give it a quarter star because that was a very impressive bump that the Giant took, to be fair. But I'm still gonna go dud, I think. You know. gotta be fair. Okay, we go backstage again where Lee Marshall now is with Sting and Booker T, and Booker reveals that they have already spoken about tonight's match, but he has something to prove to the Road Warriors tonight. Sting then hypes up Booker by speaking street and promises to take the Road Warriors out. Now, that leads us to our next match, which is the Chicago street fight between the Road Warriors and Sting and Booker T with no rules and full counting anywhere. Jake, how many times did you, like, lose the stream of consciousness during the 30 minutes? I'm going to repeat that. The 30 minutes that this match actually took.
Well, like, here's the thing. The first, I don't know, 5 to 7 minutes of this, which I thought to Megametric, but at the beginning, know where this is going. At the beginning, they mentioned that there's no time limit, which seems ominous in retrospect. That there's no time limit to this match. Yeah, like the beginning, I thought was okay. Like they kind of did the chaotic. Like I was like, okay, this feels like a street fight, and it's funny that they call it Chicago Street Fight, even though they're in Tupelo. it seemed like you would just call it a street fight and be like, well, the Road War. I get why they did it because the Road Warriors, but yeah, but then like they just move into like just like so many other matches on here where it just feels so meandering. Like they have no plan of what they're trying to accomplish. It's almost like, it's like being at work and you have 30 minutes until you can clock out and you're just trying to kill time and make it look like you're busy or something. I feel like that's what a lot of these matches are. Like Booker T is working like the worst arm bar you've ever seen. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they all ran out of steam like 10 minutes in. So they all just start working holds in the middle of a street fight. And like even Tony at one point, he's like, wow, this is kind of weird that they're all in the ring doing holds in a street fight. Like you could tell. And like knowing Tony now, you know, in his head, he's probably like, what the fuck are they doing in the street? You know, like eventually Singh gets a chair again. But by that point, like 20 minutes have elapsed and you just lost all. Like you said, Ben, you've like disassociated. So again, it just felt like them killing time. Like I thought at the end when they did the little like luring, I think they when they lured the Road Warriors, I forget which one, honestly, because again, I disassociated from reality at that point. But the thing where they jumped him and put his head between the posts was kind of cool. But yeah, it's just way too long and just way too much talent in the ring to. I mean, even Road Warriors at this point, it just shouldn't have been 30 minutes. Let them do what they did the first 10 and then give them another 5, get to the finish. Like, there was no reason for this to go as long as it was. I mean, WCW's got a roster of like 400 people. Just put some other match out here. Like, I don't know. I didn't even know what to rate this because I was like, I kind of like the beginning, but I feel like I have to go dud just because it's so long. Like I would never want to watch this again, ever. I would never want to watch it.
I went 1 star, so dud is quite fair, to be fair. Now,
To be fair, but just real quick, I put ellipses 1 question mark as my rating, to be fair. So if you want to put that on the books, go ahead.
We'll put that in the ledger.
Right.
Now, at one point in the match, on commentary, Dusty Rhodes gets very excited about Sting going backstage to get some plunder. We all know that Dusty loves a bit of plunder. Now, there is a worse weapon that gets brought out during the main event that I'm sure we will get to. But Sting coming out with a broom, ladies and gentlemen, and the broom being a focal part of the match. It's quite the look. Now, speaking of Dusty, Logan, I don't know about if you know this, but Dusty had a couple of sons. One is going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. His name's Cody Rhodes. And he had another son by the name of Dustin Rhodes. And when Dustin was in WCW, he was known as...
Well, they call him the Natural.
Natural.
Naturalist can be. They call him the Natural.
Natural.
It comes naturally. He's the son of a son and son of a gun. The hoss does the rodeo bulldog. He's the natural one.
He sure is. Now, Logan, we had to put it in there.
Yeah.
because this match is so awful. Like I say, Dusty genuinely does get excited because he thinks Sting's going to bring out these great weapons, and he brings out a fucking broom.
He brings out a pair of brooms, actually. It's more than one.
He brings out a pair of brooms, and then just to get all excited because they use the broom handle instead of the cleaning pot.
Yeah, he breaks it, or Animal snaps one of them in half, and it's like, oh, he's got the chop end! He's got the chop end! So, I really hate the whole split-screen gimmick that they do at the beginning.
Yes.
I get what they're going for, but it really stinks. It takes about 7 or 8 minutes for something street fight-like to happen when they bring the chair out for the first time. I love it when Dusty pops when Sting falls right on Animal's crotch after they kind of collide into each other. That was a really fun moment. Oh, he's going to feel that in the morning, or he says something to that effect. Sting at one point does like a dive from the top rope, and he almost goes from one corner of the ring to the other. Like, he almost jumps completely across the ring. I thought that was a real cool feat of athleticism. After a lot of walk brawling, we finally get some plunder with the brooms that come out, as you've mentioned a couple times. So plenty of plunder there. And the finishing chair shot that Stevie Ray hits Hawk with is sick. Like, the sound of it and just how he hits it is just, oh, it's gross. There's a good match in there. Obviously, it went 30 minutes. I think if it had gone about 15, maybe even shorter than that, it probably could have been a pretty good match. It's way, way, way too long. I even made the note that it's so long that some people still say it's going on now. So it has the WrestleMania 32 problem. I went Gentlemen's 2 just for the guys in the match. I think they worked hard, but it's more on the booking that it's as bad and long as it is.
Now, just piggybacking on your point, and actually piggybacking on both of your points, I actually really like the end sequence when Animal goes into the back and literally just brushes up against Luger, and then that's when he does the as our good friend Matt calls it, the yow shit selling. I can't do it properly, but you all know what I mean when he
wow.
So there you go. There. and like you say, the chair shot at the end, that's sick and really good, but. We're half an hour into the match. If that had happened after, say, 10, 15 minutes, just tighten it up a bit. Like you say, there's a good match in there, but it's 30 minutes. And with the whole, like, brawling and, you know, the double trouble, uncensored bubble, you can't tell what's going on. There's just no flow to the thing. And it feels really bad because, like you say, you've got four really good guys who know what they're doing, and they can do a lot better than this. But, you know, restraints and time was their enemy, and you know that this is where long, meandering, and boring gets you.
Very, very poorly booked pay per view. They give people time that they probably shouldn't have, and. I mean, I know you got to fill the time, but just have more matches. I mean, like Jake said, you have 1,000 people on the roster. Like, just throw a few more guys out there.
Right. It's like they gave these matches time with no plan as to why they were given this much time. Like, these guys obviously didn't. Were like, I guess we're going 30 minutes. I don't know. What do we do? We'll just brawl and do some. Like, they clearly didn't have, like, well, yeah, we need 30 minutes because we need to do X, Y, and Z. It was just 30 minutes just to be 30 minutes.
Well, they mentioned during the DDP match the fact that, yeah, that Johnny B. Badd's left the company. But he would only have been Bootman. He would only have replaced the Bootman. So I think part of me wonders, is that why they went 60 minutes? It was literally a case of. They were going to do the same match, just with a different. You know, instead of having a guy who can go 16 minutes, we get Ed Leslie instead, and you know, maybe the same year for some reason they put Luger into the cage.
Yeah, maybe, but it's just I don't know.
Fuck you, Johnny B. Badd. Setting this into motion.
like we said, even at this stage, there's so many guys on the WCW roster, they could have put an extra match in here quite easily.
Way to go, Mark Morrow.
Yeah. you bring as your insanely hot wife, but what else have you done, really? that's actually quite a good question. But gentlemen, we have put it off for long enough because now we have got to our main event of the evening, which pits Hulk Hogan and Randy Savage, the Mega Powers, or as Michael Buffer calls them, the Mega Force. And they are taking on the Alliance to End Hulkamania, real snappy title there by WCW, which consists of Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, the Taskmaster Kevin Sullivan, Lex Luger, the Faces of Fear, Ming, and Barbarian, the Gangster, and the ultimate solution. Don't call him the final solution, whatever you do. It's the ultimate solution. Now, I've given the gentlemen a bit of homework before the show. They had to come up before we rip into this match, before we say what you think we're going to say about this. They had to come up with at least one positive thing about the match before we started. And I'm going to go to Logan first. Logan, your one positive about this match before we start.
The cage held up pretty well. Them walking around on it, it didn't really give in at any point. And then there's one point where Randy Anderson transitions from the top cage to the second, and he almost falls, but he actually lands on his feet. So good athleticism by our dear Randy Anderson. So that's what I got.
That's two good things. So there we go. You see, there we go. Same question to you, Jake.
Well, for what Dusty calls the most important match in wrestling history, I would say a positive would be the Sullivan spot is kind of crazy. Like, that was a pretty memorable spot where he's dangling. Like, it kind of looks legit, like he could fall. So that was pretty insane. Like, it's probably the only real use of the cage is like where they really try and do anything with how high up in the air they are. So that was cool. And also just Buffer having to announce all this ridiculous shit is always gets me. Like, anytime when Michael Buffer has to say some absurd WCW nonsense, like the alliance to win Hulkamania, like, it just always gets me.
Yeah, you can just tell about that. I have to write all this stuff for Buffer. It's like, yeah,
I'm a Z gangster.
My one positive is kind of similar to Jake's. I'm going to praise some WCW camera work again, because not only is it during that Sullivan spot, but also before the match when Hogan and Savage are going up to the top cage, that camera shot was showing the entire arena. It's some bloody good camera work there. It is bloody tall. Now, I'm afraid, gents, after our slight bit of positivity, I'm afraid we might have to say some negative things now. So just get yourselves ready. There might be some negative coming. So I'm gonna start with Jake first. At this point, Ric Flair's the world champion. But by God, you wouldn't know it.
No, it's the whole thing of this match is that, like, there's only like 12 people or whatever are trying to beat Hogan and Savage. And it's just like, it's set up more like an action sequence from a movie or something where, like, it's like all these people are just goons that they're running through, kind of. Even the way it ends with frying pans, which is so random. Like, you know what I mean? Like, all these guys who are like pretty, I mean, not Z Ganks or whatever, they were obviously just put in this for, I don't know, reasons. Beyond, I mean, I don't know, I guess Hogan reason, you know what I mean? Like, it's just them running through this, like, maze, yes. Running through guys. Like, it could have been anyone. They might as well just made it all randos instead of sacrificing, you know, Flair and all these guys.
It felt a little bit like a video game, you know, like Z Gangster. Right. I wouldn't even say Z Gangster and Ultimate Solution with the final boss. They were like the last heavies before you get to the final boss, and then you never get to the final boss because they haven't thought that far ahead.
Right. You have Arn in his cat burglar outfit, which got me. That was one of my other positives. Arn in the all black for whatever reason. So it just adds to the whole thing that, like, but yeah, like, you have your world champion here, and he's just like another dude getting run through. And it seems like they end on the most random guys. It's not even like they have to end with Flair or whatever. Like, the last people they really encounter at the end are Z Gangsta, and I didn't even catch the other dude's name. I forget. The Ultimate. Oh. Right. The Ultimate.
Fucking Chief Swenson.
Don't call him.
Right. Don't call him. Right. So. Yeah, but just like all the other matches, it's just like a lot of this just felt like them, like they didn't plan, like, besides Kevin Sullivan, like, he's like, all right, if I got to do something crazy, so he just like tries to make it seem like he's going to dangle. But otherwise, it's like, who gives a shit if they have this cage? Because all they do is just kind of punch and kick and brawl around, like, kind of lame brawling around the cage. So, like, beyond the spectacle of seeing the big cage, they don't really do a whole lot with it.
Now, I did, obviously, I said, set the gentleman the homework about the positivity, but did anybody actually see what the object was that Flair threw down to Sullivan? Sullivan missed, and it went all the way down to the bottom. Because all I saw is when Dusty was getting very excited about Flair pulling something out of his tights. Did anybody actually catch what the item was?
No, I missed it.
No.
Probably some nucks, but I missed it.
Because they pan out wide. I don't know if you noticed, and you can just see Sullivan and Luger actually looking for it, and they haven't got a clue when it's dropped. Now, Logan, I'm sure you've got we've had two positive things from you, but just be gentle with this match, please, before you start laying into it. You know, it's just be kind. Just try and be kind. I mean, I'm not asking for too much.
So for the dear fans of this show, this is my least favorite match in wrestling history. this is the duddiest duds of all duds. I hate this match more than I thought I could hate anything in life. That's actually my only note on it, but it is so stupid. It is the stupidest match in the history of wrestling. So the whole purpose of it is it's in a cage. So cages in wrestling are supposed to contain the participants of said match. So they start okay. They battle with Arn and Flair, which just starting with Arn and Flair is stupid enough to get with it. But yeah, that's a moot point as we go on throughout the match. They start with them. They work their way down to the next cage. They fight the Barbarian and Ming for a little bit, work through that cage. They then get to Sullivan and Luger, who I believe is in the next cage.
Correct.
They then escape the cage, go down the stairs on the outside of the cage, which isn't something that's supposed to happen. I do agree with Jake. Another positive is the Sullivan almost dying, hanging off the side of the structure. That was pretty cool. But then they make a whole big thing throughout the whole show that this is the cage that's going to have the last match. This is where the last match is going to take place.
Yeah.
And then they escape the cage and they go to the ring. Why do they go to the ring? That makes no sense. It makes zero sense, and I hate it so much. But they battle in the ring for a while. I don't even know who they fight because it just doesn't matter at that point. But they're fighting in the ring. So they go back to the cage, battle in the entranceway for a little bit. And you know, Luger does some great yelling there and does the "Ow!" and all that good stuff. So. And then they get back and then they just go back into the bottom part of the cage to fight Z Gangster and the Ultimate Solution. And then everybody piles down into the bottom cage and somehow Hogan and freaking Savage still win the match. And the even stupider thing is Z Gangster has Hogan pinned at one point and the ref just won't count the pin. And then suddenly when Hogan and Savage start to pin somebody, he counts it. What the fuck is going on? Oh, God. It's the stupidest match in the history of matches, and I hate it. I hate it so, so fucking much. So, dud.
I mean, we haven't even spoke about the end of the match with, you know, Luger and his weighted glove. Have you ever heard of it?
The J glove.
Wrestling?
Yeah. The J glove. God, it is so bad.
And I struggle to remember this period of WCW, so you guys might be able to help me. Did anything happen with Flair and Luger after this?
Because
obviously he punches him on purpose, you know, because he even showed, you know, they make sure they show it on camera where he stops and then hits him. Just expose the business much wider, don't you?
Now, I don't know if y'all know, Ben, definitely, but Logan might know what I'm talking about, but like at the fair, you ever go in the thing and it's like this big, like a maze thing you go in, it's usually like two stories high, like, and you go up there and there's like a thing where you have to crawl across the ball pit and then like there's like a bunch of ropes. That's what this cage reminded me of, is that big maze thing at the fair. Yeah, it's like that, but the main event. And what are the frying pans made of? There's some very thin frying pans. Low quality.
again with Jake's point,
Tupelo's finest.
going off Logan's point, and you know, today I think it would be done a hell of a lot easier. And obviously, when you know, when they did, I think they did the triple cage again, didn't they? When Ready to Rumble came out, like, why did they just do this as a rig? You know, why did they have to have the ring to the side? They could have just done it in the normal ring,
or like do a gauntlet match or something like that. Like, you know, have them come out two at a time. And like, I mean, I'm not saying that would be better, but like. This the cage is so right. stupid. Like, and it's they like don't the even really use it that much. But yeah, I'm good.
it just goes to the whole thing of this whole pay per view. Like, it's a culmination of the whole thing. It just seems it's like giving a presentation where you're in school and like you didn't prepare at all, so you just do whatever. Like, it's like there's like, oh yeah, this big cage would be cool, build that, but then they did nothing to plan around it or figure out like. Like, it's like every match on this show, it just felt like they just threw the guys out there and they're just like, oh, we'll just kill some time. It's like, oh, and by the way, your time is 30 minutes. And they're like, fuck, I have to give a 30-minute presentation? Like, what are we going to do for 30 minutes? I don't know. We'll just do whatever. That's the whole show.
Yeah, this went 25 minutes.
And a related question, do we think that the Barbarian has ever had an easier payday than this? Because... He literally does a couple of punches when they get down to that second level. And then they do that ridiculous spot where they think Hogan's like caged the chain the door to the cage and they're trying to pull it. And, you know, you actually see it opening a couple of times and he's on the other side.
Oh, yeah.
what's going on?
Yeah, no, everybody, I think Sullivan and Luger are the two people that end up going to the ring with Hogan and Savage.
Yeah.
The first four people. Easiest payday they've ever had. They did nothing in the whole match.
I'm gonna do the air quote. I'm gonna do the air quotes. Yes, Flair, Arn, and the Faces of Fear are locked. we talked in the last bit about like, you know, replacements for matches. Like they mentioned it a couple of times that Pillman should be here. So part of me thinks go to Jake's final boss strategy. Was Pillman meant to be at the top with Arn and Flair was meant to be at the end? I don't know. I mean, it's not going to make it better, but...
I think Pillman would have just been buried in this match, I feel like. I mean, with all the other...
Oh, totally would have been buried. Because... Let's face it, everybody, I mean, even Savage, everybody apart from Hogan in this match is buried.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's a major problem with WCW at this time period before the NWO come along. It's all about Hulk. And they wonder why people, like, you know, they tried to claim they were number one and they weren't. Not at this point. So, at the end of the show, Bobby, bless him, has had enough of Hogan and Savage as the rest of us have. He throws his headset down, leaves us with Dusty and Tony to end the show for us. But it's the end of this show, but it's not the end of our show because we've got some awards to give out. Now, gentlemen, best match of the night, I think. Are we all in agreement of Finlay Regal being the only shining light on this pay-per-view?
Yes.
Yeah. we also have an award on this show from time to time, which is our Hidden Gem Award for genuinely good matches, not just good matches, you know, just on a sliding scale. Logan, are you happy to put this in the Hidden Gem category?
Yeah, because I wouldn't have expected it. I would expect them to have a good match, but it was very good for
excellent.
How it probably wasn't supposed to be presented that way.
I know Jake's not usually around, but Jake, are you happy? Are we happy yet? We'll put it in.
100%. Yeah. I mean, especially Barry. It's like a weird thing where maybe it is known because it's like the one good thing on this show. But maybe when people think this whole show is just a pile of shit, maybe they would, you know, this is a hidden under the trash that is the rest of the show.
But it's like WCW doing that thing of, you know, we've got one good match on the undercard and a whole load of shit in the main event, like 6 months before that became cool. But with these two guys instead of the cruiserweights. Our next award is the most surprising match of the night. I'll go to Jake first now. Surprising can be surprised. Oh, we haven't done. Sorry, I'll start. I'll stop myself. Our next award is the worst match of the show. See, I'm trying to get the main event by skipping an award. Now, do I give it to the main event? Do I give it to the Booty Man DDP? Do I give it to Loch Ness Giant? And Jake, where have you gone?
I think you got to go main event. I mean, to me, like, if you have that giant structure, you almost have to work against yourself to make it not at least somewhat entertaining.
Yes. Same question to you, Logan.
Yeah, it's the worst match of all time. It's the only match in the history of wrestling worse than Michael Cole versus Jerry Lawler.
Now, you're usually Mr. Positivity around these pots, Logan. I mean, I can't remember if I actually asked you for a star rating. Are you going to actually go negative on this?
I don't do negative, so it's just the dudliest dud of all duddy duds. So.
I went the full negative Monty. I went -5 just because I know what Logan's like. So I was like, well, I've got to add some negativity onto this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad, guys. I can't even put it into words. Like, if you. Like, the reputation of this show, people know this main event bad, but like, if you haven't watched it for a few years, you just don't realize how bad it actually is until you watch it again. And the rest of the show, like the rest of the shit on this show doesn't help as well, like the mood you're in.
It's just that they like break every rule of the match.
Yeah.
Like, immediately, and it just doesn't matter, so it's ridiculous.
Tony makes the point, doesn't he? He keeps saying during it, you know, once they've got through a level, that's you eliminated, and it's like, and then everybody comes in at the end. It's like, they're not eliminated, are they? Clearly. But going off that, next award is the most surprising match of the night. So surprising could be surprisingly good or surprisingly bad. Logan, I'll stick with you.
I was surprised. I think the Chicago Street Fright was surprisingly bad. Considering the guys in it, I thought it would have been better, but I almost blame it more on the booking team that they gave them that much time. So, but that match was surprisingly worse than I thought it would be.
Same question to you, Jake.
Oh,
Can we just isolate that?
I think I was a little surprised that Eddie Conan wasn't at least more like all right. You know, like I didn't think it would be fantastic, but I thought with Eddie in there, and like I thought Conan could at least be carried by Eddie, but even that was kind of lame.
Yeah, I've got that as my most surprising. I made the comment I made earlier on, how do you make Eddie this dull and bad? Congrats, Conan. All right, our next award is the Sean Kidd Award for the biggest shit take of the night from the three of us. And I think we've been pretty much in agreement tonight, gentlemen. I can't think of one comment where I've been really surprised by what somebody said. I don't know if you guys have picked up on anything.
No. It's a great uniter of wrestling shows here. Equalizer.
And speaking of great uniters on wrestling shows, it is, of course, our Dusty Rhodes commentary line of the night, because this is a show with Dusty Rhodes on it, and we have to honor his presence when he is on the show. It's only the second one we have done where Dusty is on the show. So, Logan, what have you gone for?
I think him, my line that I got in the Regal-Finley match, him talking about soliloquating and repetendum, so I have to go with that.
Fair enough. It was a good one. Jake, what about you?
I'm going to go from the same match, him saying he's got it hooked on the karate artery.
And I am going to go from the same match, Lucius Metzimus. Loved it.
I do love Uncle in him in the first match as well.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And Eddie being his homie.
What the hell was this?
And I think we've got to give...
Somebody bring me my pills.
I think we've got to give a special mention as well to him marking out for the lockup at the beginning of the Medusa Parker match.
Right.
Just the sheer joy in his voice at that point. Our next award is the Fashion Statement Award. Jake, what have you gone for?
I'm going for Arn in his all black burglar outfit. I don't know why he decided to wear that for the cage match. I don't know what he thought was going on here. I guess he's trying to protect his skin. I don't know, but Arn in the black jogging suit in the cage.
That's a worthy contender, Logan.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Arn as well. He looked like he was about to go burgle a house after this. So, he definitely wins it for me as well.
Initially, I went for Conan, as I've called it, his Gay Pride Centurion outfit. But, I'm gonna change my mind. I'm gonna go with Arn and the cat burglar, because Jake and our chat put that photo of the cat burglar from The Simpsons, and I was like, yeah, that's Arn.
Such a ridiculous outfit, but yeah, it had to be to protect himself from the.
Yeah, it's got to be. Yeah, because he even had the jogging pants on, didn't he? So,
his winter outfit and the cool 2.0 temperatures.
Yeah, when you get up to that top deck.
Yeah, the icy Mississippi winter.
With the elevation up there in the triple K's, yeah.
I get the feeling this is probably our easiest award of the night. Jake, is this show chicken salad or chicken shit?
Shit, easily. Easiest ever. Of any time I've ever been on the show, like, the least conflicted I've ever been.
As I say, usually there's a bit of build-up in that, but not tonight.
No.
Logan, any great cooking analogies for you, or are you going straight to shit as well?
Nah, this is the easiest shit layup in the possible history of the game. So yeah, shit.
I like that shit layup. That might be right. And then of course we have our league table. Now I only sent the gentleman the page one of the league table because for some reason I get the feeling this show's either going to be number one or number two or show number two on our list. Obviously Jake's our guest. So I don't know if he can really comment, but we've got Bash at the Beach 1999 at number one, Jake. I mean, I don't know if you've seen that show recently, but.
I haven't watched it recently, but here's the thing. I can only speak generally about the era. Usually in that era, when it's bad, I can at least get like. I just pulled up the card just so I can. So you got the Buff Bagwell defeated Roddy Piper in a boxing match. Like,
yes, you do.
I feel like
that may be the third worst match of all time.
Right, like I don't know, something about the era. Usually, I can find like a so bad it's good kind of like it. At least passes the threshold of absurdity, which I feel like this show would really make it suck. Is that it doesn't even get to that point. Like we mentioned the whole time, it's like not even that the matches are like oh bad because it's stupid. It's just like boring. Like so much of it is just boring, and to me, that's what. So I can't speak because I have to go. To fire up Bash at the Beach 99 real quick to give you a fair judgment, but I would definitely put it in contention because generally I would say that era of WCW is at least like so bad it's entertaining, where this didn't even get that for me.
I get that. Logan, obviously we've been on this journey since the beginning. So I've got a pro and a con, right? So the pro is, because I looked at my ratings for the Bash at the Beach show compared to my ratings for this show. I've got nothing at Bash at the Beach as good as Finlay and Regal. I think the highest match I've got is 3 stars at Bash at the Beach, so I went 3.75. So that's the pro. But the con is, I've got at least 2 matches on this show, uncensored, as negative stars, maybe even 3, depending how I'm feeling. And like Jake says, this era of WCW, there's like at least a camp value sometimes, and there's not even that with this. It's just boring shit with just bright colors. That's the way I can. That's the only way you can describe it.
Yeah. I have very similar vibes from after I watched Bash at the Beach 99 that I do with this. It was just, it actively made me never want to watch wrestling again. I almost want to go 1A, 1B, like not even put one. I don't even want to put it two because I feel like they're equally as offensive. So maybe like not even put it at two, but make it co-ones maybe. I don't know. I'd probably
like a year in special where you like like the Thunderdome of shit.
Yeah. This is our new summit. We'll have to rewatch both of these shows.
I would have it at number one on its own, but I can go equal number one for now.
Oh man. Yeah. Let's just put this at number one. This is the worst. This is the worst show. One show has Swole on it, so I'll give Swole the bump.
I think we've got to put it at number one just for the main event.
Yeah. It like that's one of the most offensive things that wrestling has ever put on. Is that?
Yes. I would tend to agree with you. Right, gentlemen, that's it for the awards and the league table. So all that's left for me to do now is to thank Jake for being here with us tonight. And Jake, anything that you'd like to plug, anything that you'd like to direct the good ladies and gentlemen to?
Always got the Ruthlessly Aggressive podcast happening in North South connection that you mentioned at the top of the show, Ben. We have Highway to the Impact Zone that we all do. That's always churning and burning at a pretty steady pace. PTB NXT, we had a pretty recent episode coming out. We have one in the works that should be dropping in the next few weeks. So you got that. And YouTube Roulette's always crank it out. We recently did a Briscoe tribute show, which was a lot of fun. And I thought was a nice, not quite as absurd as we usually get. So we kept it respectful.
semi respectful. you gotta do it sometimes.
Right.
Same question to you. Anything that you'd like to plug while you're here?
I mean, Schiff did pop in at the end to get somewhat offensive, but he was even in a good mood that night. So he was he was
part,
a good boy.
That's part of the review. Schiff gets somewhat offensive.
Jake pretty much plugged all my shows. right there. All I have to plug after that is the Dangerous Alliance pod, 7 Months of Danger. We're going through that whole storyline. We're a little over halfway through. I'm getting there towards the end. And then Who's Next is my NXT pod with Andy.
And God bless you for doing that. So the rest of us don't have to.
I have a new documentary pod with Jenny and Roger on the NoSo. So that should be coming out soon.
Documentary. Wrestling documentaries or just?
Just anything in general. We may do wrestling eventually.
I'm asking questions on the air like a proper presenter does. I will plug because there's another show that me and Logan do with Callum, which is Starflation. That's out every month. At the moment, there is the Sheep Herders Fantastics match on there. It's basically where we inflate or deflate matches that have been given 5 stars on the Meltzer scale. So give that a listen. It's a fun, easy listen. Sometimes the matches are like 10, 15 minutes long. Some matches like the one we watched recently was an hour long, but trust me when I say that hour long match was probably second only to Steve Austin, Bret Hart as the best match we've watched so far. Would you agree with that, Logan?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, and also the special relations we are going to drop an episode before WrestleMania, promise. Pinky promise on that. And as well as that, Callum, if he was here, would want me to tell you that there will be some twitching and live watching going on at WrestleMania as well. So keep your eyes and ears out for that. So for Jake and Logan and Ben, and remember everybody, in a world where you can be anything that you want to be kind. Thank you so much for listening to Chicken Salad, and we will see you again next month. And I get in a
excited.